Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Whitney Davis on the line with me, former executive of CBS. Tell us a little bit about your background, Whitney.
Background as far as where I'm from Wichita, Kansas, born and raised. I studied journalism at Kansas State University. I was blessed to get an internship at CBS News in New York my junior year of college. After graduating from school, passed up my two-door Honda, moved to New York, and got hired and was there until I left this February.
And how did you come about that decision?
Prayer.
Okay.
A lot of talks with God and my husband. I'm a woman of faith. And I will say, in becoming a mother and thinking about legacy, and the type of legacy that I wanted to leave for my children and the type of world that I wanted my children to be a part of, that played a big role in me wanting to speak power to my truth and to share my experience. And I will say that I don't think that my experience is unique. I think it may be unique to people who are not aware of what it's like to be a minority in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us who come from marginalized communities, I do think that my experience is one that we all share.
Absolutely.
And so in sharing this story, I really had to think about, like, who is my audience?
Right.
Who am I talking to?
Right.
You know, it's been really encouraging to have a lot of my former colleagues, some that are even still at CBS, reach out to say, like, I'm proud of you.
Right.
And thank you for speaking these truths and things that we all know, if we've been a part of that system, that these things exist. But I do think that if we want to create real change, and I certainly do, that we have to first come together to say, hey, look, here's a problem, and outline that problem, and then start to really have conversations about how we move forward.
Right. I totally agree.
So that's my story. You know, I kind of like came up in the company. I started out running scripts, getting coffee for people, and I have had amazing mentors. I didn't speak on in the piece, but I have had a lot of people in my career that were incredibly encouraging and helped me find other opportunities despite the things that were going on within the workplace.
Right. And these were women of color as well that assisted you through
this. I mean, not only, yes. Certainly women of color, men of color. I've had amazing colleagues who were white.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. That were also instrumental in connecting me to opportunities and looking out for me in the workplace. You know, I definitely have to be very careful not making this about a black issue.
And white.
I just happen to be black.
Right.
I can only speak on my experience as a black woman
in
the workplace. It was really calling out, my purpose was to call out the lack of inclusion. I'm not calling for there to not be white people in the workplace.
Right.
I'm calling out for us all to have a seat at the table and to be able to eat the feast, right? And not just sit there and watch other people eat while we're starving.
I totally get it.
That was my purpose.
Right. And it's necessary because it's like, you know, the elephant is in the room and everybody's just kind of like, and no one wants to say something. And you're absolutely right. Then when you do say something, people want to misconstrue it as it's just black and white. And it's really not black and white. And I want to also mention, because you said men, do you feel it's an issue with black men in that same position? Do you find that maybe
come across at CBS, I've never come across a black male executive. I'm sure there has been one, but in the 14 years, including my internship, I didn't work with any.
Okay. All right. So, okay, we'll scratch that. We don't know. We don't know about that.
Is that your question?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay.
CBS. Yeah. Not right now.
Okay. No problem. Yeah, because I was thinking when I was reading the story, I was like, well, CBS might be like, well, look what we just did for Gail. She should not complain. What is the problem? And I was thinking to myself, yeah, but that is the problem. You know, it's like one out of a million. It's like playing the lottery to me. You know, not saying that we don't get opportunities, but they're so far apart, so to speak. What, in the last 20 years, we have Gail? So I just wanted
to. Yeah, and part of the reason that I wanted to share my story, I do think that you know, there's been study, there's research. You have the Gina Davis Foundation. You have a lot of the media coalition groups that it is their mission to make sure that there's representation in front of the camera and behind the camera. And there is a lot of work to be done in those areas. But for me, it was incredibly important to speak out on the lack of inclusion when it comes to like what's going on behind the camera. So when you're looking at these powerful media companies, looking at their creative executives, the C-suite, the board, and what that looks like, because until you have true inclusion in those positions of power, I think we're going to continue to go around in circles trying to figure out, how do we get more people of color? How do we get more talent with disabilities? How do we get, you know, LGBTQ representation? If you don't have those communities represented at the very top, then how are we really going to get that change? Like, how is it going to happen? You don't have anybody in those places of power advocating for those communities.
Absolutely.
That's why I say you cannot just have your people of color or minorities working in these diversity and inclusion departments. And while that work is incredibly important, we need to see that representation in positions of power in casting offices, in production companies, in development, the heads of studios. We have to have that reflected everywhere.
Digital journalism and being a digital journalist, somewhat like myself, we went from print to now digital, which is a huge market. How do you feel about that as far as opportunities now for minorities entering in into journalism, into film, into every area of entertainment?
I think that the opportunities are incredible, right? I mean, we literally have the power to be able to be our own content creators in the palm of our hand, literally, thanks to the technology of the smartphone and all of that. So I do think that the wealth of opportunities that exist are limitless. But if we're not educated on those venues and how we can be a part of that change, then, you know, if you don't see it, how do you conceptualize that you can be it, right?
Right.
But for filmmakers, you know, one of the things I used to always tell content creators when I would meet with them is like, if you want to write, write. You don't have to wait for a CBS or a Netflix or one of these major media companies to give you the opportunity. You literally have the opportunity to get out, use your voice, share your narrative, and tell your story now. And so I do think that the direction that media is going in is incredibly promising. You know, I'm speaking specifically about the system that I was a part of. And, you know, I worked at America's Most Watched Network.
So
it's a big, huge, traditional structure that I was working within. But I do think it's a different ball game. You have to be hungry. You have to be able to pound the pavement. You have to be a self-starter. But I do think that the future journalists and filmmakers do have that written tenacity to make things happen.
Okay.
You know, everyone's talking about like the golden age of television. And I would somewhat push back a little bit to say like, well, it depends on what content and where that content is being created and where it's being broadcast, whether or not we're really truly in the golden age. But I do think that we're in a golden age of people speaking their truth.
Right.
And people being able to tell those stories.
Right.
And I'm product of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate your forthright. I'm going to say three words and I want you to tell me what they mean to you in relations to your career at CBS, if you will, okay? And being a female.
Sure.
Don't cry, because we hear that statement in corporate America for females all around the world. But what does that mean to you, or what? How can you better define that when a female is told that?
Sure. I've had some women in my life and mentors in the workplace tell me, don't let them see you cry. And for me, I kind of lived by that, right? You know, I cried many years. I cried a lot. I just think that I had safe places to cry those tears. But for me, it's empathy. And before we get into changing the industry and before we get into the real work of activism and what have you, we have to have that empathy.
Right.
And I think that there's strength in being vulnerable.
Right.
I think there's strength in maybe not crying, but I do think that for you to be vulnerable enough to show your emotions and be outraged or be happy or whatever brings on those tears, I think that we should be free to express ourselves. But I've definitely been the recipient of that advice myself. Yeah. Don't let them see you cry. Don't let them see that they're breaking you.
Mm.
You know, there were days where I had to, like, run to the bathroom before the tears started rolling down my eyes.
Right.
Or I'd have to, like, you know, I lived in New York, so it was like, man, let me go find a Lucy. Let me go bum a cigarette for somebody, you know, so that I can, like, you know, smoking is bad, right? But
right,
sometimes
right.
you pick up these habits. But for me, it was really tapping into my faith
right.
and relying on the support of my family and, mm-hmm. and the things that my parents instilled in me and relying on my tribe and my king, my husband, my parents. They've been incredibly supportive and,
mm-hmm.
you know, my life's work has always been to make my family proud. I gave my husband like a big hug and kiss and I try to tell him all the time, like, I wouldn't be on this path if it weren't for his encouragement.
Right.
You know, he's been kind of my number one support system.
Right.
And I really thank God for that.
I have the second word for some of the women that are in our field of communication. They say, we got to be relentless. We got to work twice as hard, be twice as smart.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you in that context?
You know, I can only speak from the perspective of a Black woman
right.
and a Black American living in this country, but that's been ingrained in our DNA since we probably got off of the place. Not to bring up slavery, like,
it's okay.
I don't necessarily want included in your piece, but, you know, that is in our DNA.
Right.
We already know that we have to in these rooms where we may be the only or one of the only few, we know that we have to go above and beyond just to be able to have a seat at the table.
Right.
Which is why, you know, I'm trying not to read like the comments and all of the crazy stuff that people write.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, it's stuff like, oh, you just weren't qualified to be there, or you're just complaining because
right.
you couldn't handle it. And what people don't understand is that to even walk in these rooms and stay in those positions and be able to kind of like carry the weight of the pressure of what it means to be representing for a whole entire community.
Right.
That's not just about being Black, right?
Right.
That's about being a minority, period. That's about being a, you know, a person with a disability, where you're one of the only few people with a disability in the workplace. Can you imagine like the pressure that a person in a workplace where there are no other people with a visible disability, can you imagine the pressure that they have?
Right. I'm glad you said that, because that's true.
Go a step further. Just imagine what it means to be a person of color with a disability. What if you are somebody that's disabled and you're also LGBTQ? What would that mean for that person in the workplace?
Right.
So by no means is this about being a Black person.
Right.
Or about being a woman of color. This is about being a minority in a system that is not reflective of the true diversity and inclusion that is represented in our society. So I can only comment it from the angle of being a Black woman, because I've been that my whole life.
Right, right.
I want to speak out to create more opportunities for other marginalized communities that don't have representation in these places.
That's right.
And in corporate America, but really starting at CBS.
Right.
Right. Right. I can only speak from my experience because I've only worked at CBS my entire career.
Wow. Okay.
I started at 23 years old. I will be 36 in May.
Okay.
So I don't know anything other than CBS.
Right.
But what I do know, not only was my community excluded, but there are a lot of other marginalized communities that did not have the opportunity to thrive and succeed within the workplace.
Right. And you spoke about faith. The third one was, I wanted to talk about faith and operating in that kind of system
mm-hmm.
for you.
For me, my faith is everything.
Right.
Like every day, I am like, wow, I probably just should have taken whatever little bit of money and the good recommendations or whatever else CBS could have given to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly feel that God has been pushing me to stretch and to grow and to really tackle this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's comfortable. And I'm scared, and I don't know what my future holds.
Right.
But I do know one thing is that my faith and the relationship that I have with Christ, that everything will happen the way that it is meant to happen. And along the way, I hope that I will empower others, because God has never set me up for failure. Ever.
That's right. That's right. That's not what he does.
And my faith, no. And my faith is everything. And even in the picture that I took for Variety, it was important for me to have my necklace and my cross showing.
Right.
Because in everything that I do, I want people to know that it's not about me. It is about God. It is about walking the path that has been set and planned for me.
Right.
And that it's not about me. I would argue with some, I would agree with some of the trolls that are like, well, you're not qualified. You didn't, you know, my history and my education and some of the things that I have gone through, you would look at me and I wasn't necessarily qualified for a lot of the opportunities that I was given, but God qualified.
Come on now.
And just like now where I'm afraid of what maybe my future holds and what does my career look like? How am I going to make money? God already has all of that figured out.
But
for me, my faith is everything. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would not be doing this unless I really felt like right now, this is my divine purpose.
Amen.
Not to get to preaching.
No,
but,
please,
you know,
preach. I'm a Christian. It's all good.
It's important to me. I kept my Bible on my desk. My husband went through. I still have my like 13 CVS boxes because I just haven't had the mental capacity to go through it. But one thing, my husband went in there. He was looking for a mouse pad, and he brought back the Bible that was on my desk.
That's right.
And
I was like,
thank you for my Bible.
Right. Okay. To females that's out there, how do you tell them get the job, or how do they get access to such opportunities? I mean, not everybody got faith. Not everybody's qualified.
You have to be prepared.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to be prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you need to do your homework, do your research, be prepared when you go in for the interview,
mm-hmm.
have done your homework on the person that you're sitting down with. Be familiar with the workplace practices. If it's a media job, know what that company is doing, where they're looking to go in the future, and to have the confidence to know that you're supposed to be there.
Right.
You're qualified to be in that room. Without them, without the women in those spaces, the workplace isn't as strong.
Wow.
And without more minorities and communities that have historically been marginalized and excluded from participating
mm-hmm.
in the system is weaker without it.
That's right. That's right.
And for CBS, until they start to really, really think about the importance of having a truly inclusive workplace, I'm not talking about just checking boxes,
right.
but a truly inclusive workplace, that they will continue to hemorrhage eyeballs. They will lose advertisement money
mm-hmm.
and their content will suffer, right?
Yes.
Without
yeah.
really being able to have that representation internally, because that's what controls the content.
That's true.
And what's being broadcast. And so that's basically.
But I thank you so much, Whitney Davis, for stopping by UrbanBuzzMag.com.
Yeah, sure.
We appreciate you, and the best to you, and God bless you.
Okay. Keep doing what you're doing, because you're creating change in your own way.
Thank you
and,
so much.
Congratulations on your success.
Thank you so much.